to be a human, to become human. The opposite of that is to be inhumane. And the Word became flesh. And so I think music is most beautifully expressed from that place of silence, wells up from the nothing to the something.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Relate, Refresh, and Restore, a podcast committed to bringing stories of hope and insight to those on the front lines of Christian ministry. Our desire is for all of us to see, sense, and experience God's voice through their stories. And through these stories, we may see His hand and hear His voice in our lives. The Relate, Refresh, and Restore podcast is brought to you by Romans 12 Ministries, where we are wildly committed to transforming the church, one pastor, missionary, and ministry leader at a time.
Well, hello, faithful listeners. This is David Town, and I just want to say thank you so much for letting us take a little bit of a break. Hope you enjoyed the Best Of podcast in July, but we are back at it with new guests, new stories of hope, new topics, and we just hope that you're encouraged by this, that you draw closer to Christ from our podcast, and we are just so thankful that you are a faithful listener, and that we love your feedback. So thanks for coming back. And I was just talking recently to somebody who shared with me that he, kind of with pride in his voice, that he and his family arrive at church right when the music is done so they can listen to the sermon. And I asked him, why? Why do you do this? And he went on with a list of things that he does not like about the music at the church. And he said, it's too loud, it's too repetitive, it's too long, the singers aren't good enough for the size of the church. It's too modern. They don't like the lights, the fog that is pumped in, which makes them think it's too much of a rock concert. And one of the girls wears her jeans a little too tight, and on and on. And I thought to myself, he's missing it. I also thought of my poor pastors and what they have to deal with on a weekly basis when it comes to church life, which includes worship music. Our guest today is a celebrity when it comes to music and songs and those he has worked with over the years in the world of faith. Tom Booth has worked with some of the biggest names in Christian music over the last 30 years. His insights, experiences, and heart for the church, music, and people is really contagious. I think you'll catch that. Tom is married to Tammy, and they have 3 grown children and 1 grandchild. You can reach Tom at tombuthmusic.com. And Tom's going to engage us on the importance of worship music, his take on what's happening currently with the church and music, and he might even get out his guitar to play a song for us. I'm David Town, the host of the Relate, Refresh, and Restore podcast. Well, Tom Booth, thank you so, so much for coming in.
Honored to be here, David.
It is such a joy to see you and to have you here to talk about music and talk about a little bit about your experience and everything. As you know, and we talked about beforehand, music is like this hot topic. Pastors I talk to, music is usually one of those that is somewhat controversial. They get those emails on Monday morning, and the music was too loud, it was too short.
Too long.
Yeah, and the guy that was singing had long hair.
The wrong songs.
Yeah, and there was actually a hymn being played, and we don't do hymns.
They used the organ, they used the guitar, they used the drums, they didn't use the drums.
So I just, to have you come in and just share, because you would just have this wealth of knowledge that's part of your degree, what you've been doing, composer, artist. I got to tell you, you've been instrumental in my own personal worship as I listen to those songs, and I'm quiet and I'm listening to those words. They mean so much. And when I do have the gumption to sing them out loud, I know you'd be disappointed. But I tell you what, I get an A for effort.
You always have the gumption. I always remember you always singing at the top of your lungs.
Didn't stop me.
Nope. God gave you that voice. Give it back to him.
I just can't sing in church. They don't allow me to sing in church. It ruins the people.
Well, you're helping the worship.
There we go. But in heaven, I will have a new body and a new voice.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
I think it's going to be baritone. And it's going
to... I love it.
So can you just, I want to start with, what are you seeing right now in the world of worship music? What's going on? What are the trends?
Yeah, well, you mentioned a bit of that in your introduction there. There's such diversity. You know, at times you look on maybe social media and you think it's all modern worship. It's, you know, good father, good father. You know, bless that song, beautiful. But that kind of repetitive worship, which is beautiful modern worship. But I think across denominations, we are experiencing some, what's supposed to be unifying is maybe some disunification, you know, some challenges because people grew up, oh, I loved the organ, or I loved early folk Christian rock, or I love modern worship, or I want bilingual music. So it's a challenge. And it's true for many denominations. You mentioned Monday morning, the pastors are getting those calls. Why did this happen? Why did this happen? So it's too bad. Music's supposed to unify, but sometimes it disconnects us.
Mm-hmm. And so what are some of the challenges? I think diversity and the repetition and all that. I mean, is a unifier, but what are suggestions of changing that?
I think integration is important. I think everything belongs and everyone belongs. So absolutely do a hymn. Absolutely do a new modern worship song. Absolutely do something from the 80s or the 90s. I think as musicians, as music leaders, as worship leaders, as pastoral musicians, we are to serve the body of Christ. And it's not about us. It's not about what we want to play or sing. Even I heard James Taylor, not a modern worship guy, he's a guy we grew up with. He said, when I do a concert, he said, I know it's not about me. I know I'm singing for the listener. And so as music directors, music worshipers, we need to love our assembly. We need to love the congregation and know that a hymn that's maybe 200 years old, and maybe we do it in the kind of an older approach and then modernize it, combine it, be more creative. I don't think one style fits all.
Mm-hmm. What if I say to you, I just don't get into hymns. I go to church and all of a sudden the worship leader throws in a hymn and I'm just not into hymns. And then I start complaining. I write those little notes. I put those little prods into him. What or her? What would you say?
It's not about you.
It's not about me.
We're all a part of a body of Christ. And maybe there's going to be a song or two that we don't like. Now, if that song is sung every week, maybe you have a point. But I would say to that person that wants to write a letter to say, be gentle. It's hard to be a pastor. And wait. And if you hear it three times a month for a few months, you have a point. But you know, it's like you go to a restaurant. You don't walk in and say, make my favorite dish. You look and see what they have and you find something that works for you. So we have to be humble as directors. We have to be humble as congregants. We need to be humble as pastors and be patient with one another.
Yeah. How have you changed over the years?
Well, you might want to interview my wife, Tammy, and see if there's any change. In terms of music and leading worship, you know, when you're a young kid, you got ideas and you got to do them. I think more about others now. A perfect example, the community that I serve, there's Spanish speaking, there's Latinos and Latinas. And when they asked me to help lead the worship, I said, we are going to do bilingual music. It's a non-negotiable for me. I said that from the first meeting, not every song, maybe not every service. And David, it was so beautiful. Maybe it wasn't always done so well. My Spanish is improving. And now we have a couple Spanish speakers in the music ministry, but we didn't at the time. And we were singing the final song. I can't remember what it was. And two older Hispanic women were walking out of the church. And instead of going out the back, they came out to the front. And they stood in front of me as we were singing, put their hands together like with prayer, one with a tear in the eye, and said, gracias, thank you, thank you. It melted my heart. It's about others. Mm-hmm. It's about others.
What about so I think that is just beautiful, the unifying of the church of music. I just love that. But what about type of music for you?
Oh, here's a great story. You know, we have a book in our church, and it has a lot of hymns and worship songs. It's an integrated piece of hymnal. And we have a young kid in his mid-20s said, you know, there's a song we really should do. And I said, what is it called? I can't remember the name of it now. And he said, I guarantee we could do it today. I'll teach everybody. He goes like this. And I remembered me as a 20-something-year-old doing songs that weren't in the book. And I said, okay. I said, you're sure it'll work? He goes, absolutely. This kid gets the band, quote unquote, to learn it. We're doing the song at the end of the service. The truth is, I have never heard that community sing like they sang during that song. There was no lyrics in the book. We don't have a screen. He was right. So the old guy listened to the young guy, and it was amazing.
And so what was the difference there? What was going on?
He said to me, Tom, it's on the radio. They know this song. And if they don't know it, they'll get it after a few takes. So, you know, maybe the next song, if that happened again, it wouldn't work. But it taught me something. You know, the book's a book. It's kind of like the scriptures, you know. We have to live the scriptures. We have to become the word. And then it becomes powerful and it becomes awesome, or maybe more awesome. Mm. And so the music, it's not in the book. The music isn't the book. It's something bigger than that. And so it just taught me to listen to young people.
Yeah. I would love to hear your story. How did you get into music? Were you born with like this long hair into rock and roll or what?
My dad, oh God bless my dad, George Booth. He loved music and he sang beautifully and he played the drums. And he raised us. I heard Beethoven and I heard Tchaikovsky and I heard Debussy and I heard the Beatles and I heard Pink Floyd and I heard Eric Clapton. My dad played all of it. And he took us, you know, to a folk mass and he took us to a chant mass. And we heard all kinds of music. He was from kind of the Wheaton Bible area. So I heard all kinds of music and I experienced lots of different ways of worship. So I grew up with music. I grew up with a dad. He kind of treated music like an essential. Like you had to eat, you had to exercise, and you needed to hear music. So I thank my dad for that.
Wow. Well, and then you moved into kind of like middle school, high school, playing instruments and playing bands?
Yeah, so we all played the drums because that's what my dad did.
Do you know I play the drums?
You?
That's how I came to Christ in high school.
Wow.
Yeah, they needed a drummer at the church group.
So here you are. You've influenced all these people, David Town, and you play the drums. Do you know, I know people that, people say the drums are not holy. The drums shouldn't be a part of it. But the drums are beautiful. It's an instrument. Yeah, so then we were all playing drums. I thought that was boring, so I learned guitar. And then, of course, I didn't necessarily start playing Beethoven. I started playing the Beatles and loved that music.
And how did he feel about that, your dad?
Yeah, it made sense to him. He took me to see Eric Clapton as a kid. And then, honestly, by the time I was 17, 18, I had an encounter with the Lord that changed the whole direction of my life. And I picked up the guitar. With you, my Lord, we can find the light. With you, my Lord, we can work it out. We can find the crease and spread it out. With you, my Lord, we can change our way from a cold gray night to a blinding light. With you, my Lord, I can find myself. You every day. So I wrote that song one night in my bedroom and sang it over and over again. I haven't changed a lyric or a note since. And then for the first time, to be honest with you, I heard God's voice inside my heart. It wasn't like John Wayne voice. It was a message. Get up. This is like 1 a.m. Get up. Go tell your sister that I love her. Get up. And I said, good idea, tomorrow, that'd be great. Get up. It was so persistent, David. I just knew whatever this, I felt compelled. I almost felt lifted up.
And this was after you did this song?
Literally the night I'm in my bedroom singing this song. I've been writing music since I was in eighth grade. But at this point, after this experience of God's love that I had, I wrote this song. And actually writing this song was the experience of God's love. It wasn't two different things. Something happened inside of me. And then this voice, I'm not exaggerating at all. I got up. I remember thinking out loud, no wonder religious people are so weird. It's you. Because I'm about to wake up my sister. God loves you, you know. And so I opened my door. And in those days, 1970, the TV was on. But you remember when the channels ended?
Off? Yeah, that's right.
And in the 70s, we watched it. So there's my sister. I had three sisters. I knew which sister, and there she was. And I went up to her. And as I walked up, she had tears going down her face. And she had had the most awful, she had been violated in the worst way. And I said to her, God loves you. I was told to tell you how much God loves you. And she started crying. So, and I knew right then, David, that my life, the plans I had, changed.
A new calling.
A new calling. And it was music. It was God's love. It was reaching out to those who are hurting. And as you get older, things maybe get more complicated or more whatever. But essentially, the mission hasn't changed.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah, God, I just love to hear those kind of God stories. When we're open and obedient and quiet enough to hear his voice, things happen.
Yeah, thanks be to God.
Wow. So then you progress and you've written and you've worked with all kinds of people.
Yeah, I went to college and studied music theory and jazz guitar and classical music and music history. And then I studied philosophy and religion. I just wanted to get better at the things I loved and was interested in. And then got hired as a young man in the 20s. All right. You know, I grew up Catholic, and that's where I was received. I mean, there I went to charismatic prayer groups and masses with charismatic, you know, I didn't realize there was dissension in the church yet. I thought we all loved each other.
Those were good old days, right?
I didn't know we were so divided, but, you know, yeah. And when I started working at a big church, well, it was a smaller church, became a bigger church. And what was interesting, again, I always wrote music. That still is my passion. And this mass got bigger and bigger, and we had a band. And I remember thinking, because I was in choirs as a kid, we did choral music. I studied chant, so we tried to do chant with guitar and percussion, and we were into all that stuff. Long story short, people started showing up, and a couple Christian artists actually ended up hearing about it and came and or heard some of the music, and some of my songs got recorded by those in Nashville doing contemporary Christian music, and I love that music as well. A young man named Matt Marr, you know Matt Marr, he's a great kid, and what an incredible man of God, and now and just mature and beautiful musician. So we worked together, and when I would go on tour, he would take my job, and now he's on tour for life. Doing great things.
But you don't want to be having that life. You know, that's a
I
lot
got
of
a
trouble.
Taste of it. I got a taste of it. It was beautiful. You know, I don't think I'm built for it, but God is faithful. I'm married. I have three amazing kids who are adults and grandkids. So for me, it's kind of like your ministry is ministering to ministers and others, whoever comes in your path. And
that's right.
You know, you and I have been friends for a lot of years now, and we know that we're numbskulls for the Lord.
We're broken guys.
Trying to do a better job today than we did yesterday. And so the songs have been published and recorded. Rich Mullins was a friend of mine. A lot of people don't know who he is. He was an amazing songwriter, and I got to be friends with him. That was an honor. And I wrote a song with Rich, and Amy Grant recorded it. That was cool. Kathy Tricoli was an artist in the 90s, and we did a couple songs.
I loved her, yeah.
She's
love
great,
that song,
yeah.
The songs,
yeah. Yeah, so, yeah.
Wow. So I want to just, before we close, your personal worship time, what does it look like? here you have this music background. What does that look like for if I follow Tom Booth for a week? What would that look like for your personal worship time that really with music?
Well, in 2004, well, I think every day we're reconverted, right? Hopefully every day is a new yes to the Lord. But in 2004, I had a recalibration, the importance of silence, the importance of listening. Tammy, my wife, has a theory. She goes, Tom, if the music at the service is not better than silence, it shouldn't be done at all, because her belief that silence is so imbued with God's love. So for me, it's a lot of silence, meditation. I had just gotten, my prayer life had gotten cluttered. My life had gotten cluttered with a lot of good things. And it was time to be grounded, to breathe, to listen, to meditate on God's word. You and I were talking earlier, you know, to be a human, to become human. The opposite of that is to be inhumane. And the word became flesh. And so I think music is most beautifully expressed from that place of silence. It wells up from the nothing to the something.
Was there a crisis then that happened in 2004 that led you there?
Well, one of my best friends had passed away, and I went to a monastery to pray with a friend of mine as a monk, and I just had this, what I didn't know was a bigger crisis was coming. So it was funny. I just had this sense of clarity, David. You have too many guitars. Sell some. Give them away. Get rid of your piano. Create a place, a space to pray. Wake up every day. Light a candle. Sit on the floor. Stretch. Breathe. Read the word. Stop. It was clear as a bell. You know when the doctor says to you, you should eat less and jog, and we go, okay, and then we stop off at Chick-fil-A on the way home.
I hate that when they say that.
But this was one of those things. I came home, and it was friends of mine said, oh, this is like Noah building an ark. And sure enough, a few months later, the church I was at had a big crisis, a big, horrible crisis. And this little boat saved my life, meditation and silence.
God was preparing you.
Absolutely. I had no idea. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I have a song about silence I could share if we have time.
I would love that.
We could end with that.
You want to do that?
I would say to my fellow, you know, pastors and music ministers, the most beautiful song we can sing is our life. Our life with God. How we live. How we treat others. Recognizing those in need. Sacred silence, holy ocean, gentle water washing over me. Help me listen, Holy Spirit, come and be with me. God, my Father, Christ, my brother, Holy Spirit, sanctifying me. Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Come and set me free.
Oh, wow. Tom Booth, thank you. What a joy. The influence that you have using your gifts, your humility, touching lives through music. Keep doing what you're doing.
You too, David. Glad we're friends. God bless your ministry.
Yeah. Well, if people want to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Let's see. There is a website, tombuthmusic.com, I think. I think that's what it is.
Okay. Yeah.
No. Bless you. prayers for Romans 12 and all that you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Well, once again, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We are so thankful for you, for faithful listeners that subscribe, that pass on these podcasts to other people as we spread this stories of hope with topics that hopefully interest you. We are able to do this with your support, not only in prayers, but also financial. So if that's something that you're nudged to do, please check us out at romans12ministries.org. And there's a donate button there, and those donations help us continue with these podcasts. But we are so thankful for you. We are grateful for your partnership and your passion for pastors, ministry leaders, missionaries, and their families.
Thank you for joining us today at another episode of Relate, Refresh, and Restore, a podcast sponsored by Romans 12 Ministries. For more information on Romans 12 Ministries, visit us at romans12ministries.org or give us a call at 520-982-5877. May we all continue to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer.